Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Blessed are they that mourn. See, we understand happiness. Happiness, we've got plenty. Happiness, we do our own thing. Happiness, we have entertainment. Happiness, we have significance. Happiness, we have friends. Well, we know what makes us happy. We have family. Happiness. But here it says, happiness is the unhappy. Happy people are unhappy people. Isn't it? Blessed are those who mourn. You got it? Is that not self-contradictory?
When it comes to true happiness, what are you willing to do to get it? Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young and Wayne Shepherd. Today, Dr. Young brings the next message in his series about finding true and lasting joy and happiness. And as you'll discover, real happiness is found in some surprising places. So please stay where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young will return right after this short break. Welcome back to The Winning Walk once again with Dr. Ed Young. Before we jump into today's message from Dr. Young's Happy People series, we have a gift we want to send you. It's Dr. Young's booklet, Joy, Experiencing God's Grace and Peace in Turbulent Times. Dr. Young wrote it to help you have joy no matter what you're going through. So please request your copy of the Joy booklet when you call The Winning Walk today at 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Now, let's get right to Dr. Young's message, Happy People Are Broken. Here's Dr. Young.
Our scripture is found in the Gospel according to Matthew, Beatitude number 2. Over your Bibles, you would, Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Will you say that with me? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let's say it again. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'm not by nature an envious person. When I see something good happen to somebody, I'm thrilled. I really am. I don't have any envy in me. I just live vicariously through that good thing that's happening in your life, whatever it is. I'm not envious. But I do have a confession to make. I am envious of that crowd of people who gathered around Jesus when he delivered this most famous sermon. I'm not envious of the apostles. I wouldn't want to be an apostle too much. But I'm envious of those who had the wonderful privilege and honor of being there on that day when God in human flesh came and sat down and opened up his heart and his mind to all those who assembled from Galilee to Decapolis, from Jerusalem to Judea, from across Jordan. He had been preaching, performing miracles. Great crowds had formed, and they gathered around him. I'm envious of those who were there to hear the very word of God about how we are to live. I'm envious of that group. Now, I've been on that mount. It's called the Mount of Beatitudes today. By the word beatitude means blessing. It comes from Latin. And I have been to that mount many, many, many times. I don't know, 20 or so times. And I've taught, opened the Bible, and read the Beatitudes or taught part of them to the group that was assembled. And many people ask how in the world that a large crowd could hear outdoors at that moment. And so I thought about that once I was there. I went right down from the spot there and walked all the way down, climbed over a couple of fences, as I recall, went all the way through this field and went down to the water, the Sea of Galilee itself, and I had somebody on top of the mountain, and I said, speak. And so they began to talk, and I said, whisper, and you could hear perfectly. So the historical site of where Jesus delivered these words, it is like a great acoustical place. You could just hear a whisper without amplification. Boy, it'd been great to have been there on this day. Now, remember, this is not just a one-shot sermon. This is a broad outline of what Jesus taught throughout his ministry, throughout his life. In other words, it's just the heart and the soul of what he was saying. And by the way, they weren't there just for 10 minutes. That's how long it takes you to read these words. I believe they were there for 3 days, like you find in Matthew 15, where they gathered. And I think they had a chance to ask questions, to dialogue, to go behind what he was saying, because they realized this was God, man, speaking to their life. Man, what a 3 days. I guess you'd have had something else to do. You wouldn't have made it. Oh, I would have been busy. No. This was it. There's a Bible conference I'd love to go to. I'd love to have been at that one. But we have the privilege now of looking at these words today, at this moment, this time in our lives. And that's fabulous. Now I want to ask you a question. What is the theme of this message? What one word describes what Jesus was talking about? What you find it in a verse. I think it's the key verse of the sermon. Look at Matthew chapter 6. I believe it's verse 33. Jesus says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." The word, the operative word for this teaching of Jesus is the word kingdom. Kingdom. John the Baptist came and said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." The first public utterance of Jesus, according to Matthew, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." And all the teachings of Jesus here in this particular address is about the kingdom. The kingdom, the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus never did say, "Receive me as Lord and Savior." Whoa, hello. Jesus never did say, "You need to receive me as Lord and Savior." Boy, does that upset anybody? Startling? Well, I just thought that. You can't find it. So we have to look at the classic scripture. There are many of them in the Bible about salvation. And I think that'd be found in John 3, where we find the one verse that we know in the Bible. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him will not perish forever." Oh, all of us know that one. And one other verse, Jesus wept. So that covers most of the memorization of the Bible for 90% of us. We know John 3:16. We know Jesus wept. Pretty well got it all covered, do we not? But in that classic John 3 that deals with salvation, remember Nicodemus came to him at night? By the way, that's where you get Nick at night, right there. Right there in the Bible. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and Nicodemus was a Pharisee, brilliant scholar, respected, you know, very important man. He came to Jesus at night. And he told Jesus, "You know, I realize you're from God because you couldn't perform all these miracles. You couldn't pronounce all these words. You're absolutely from God." And Jesus, in addressing him, said, "Receive me as Lord and Savior." No, what did he say? He said, "Nick, unless you repent." He said, "Nick, unless you repent and be born again." Only those who are born again will see my kingdom. There's our word. Or enter into my kingdom. There's our word. Unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom. You'll never enter the kingdom. And the words to Nicodemus were uttered prior to John 3:16. Those who believe in him will not perish and have everlasting life. So he talked about the kingdom.
You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Finding joy when facing the rough waters of life can be difficult. In fact, it can seem like an impossible task. That's why Dr. Young wrote the booklet, Joy, Experiencing God's Grace and Peace in Turbulent Times. In this booklet, Dr. Young shows you how focusing your attention on God's promises and His Son, and not on your circumstances, will help you find true joy and enduring peace. So please call The Winning Walk to request your copy of this helpful booklet today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And stay with us in just a moment from Dr. Young.
God set up His kingdom in the coming of Jesus Christ. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth, kingdom, as it is in heaven.
Don't miss what's ahead on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Are you currently stuck in a rut in your Christian walk? Do you want to tell others about your hope in Christ but don't know how? Whatever your spiritual situation is, there are relevant resources available on our website. Go to winningwalk.org. There you can also sign up for Dr. Young's free email devotional, winningwalk.org. And we're also found on Twitter at Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Young to continue his message. Happy people are broken.
If that's the big word, if that's the word that Jesus most often used in his life, he talked about the kingdom, 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 all the way through the Gospels. It's all about the kingdom. And he talks about being born again. Why do you and I need to be born again? In other words, we need to have this new life that Christ gives us. And old things are passed away. We become a new creation, a new heart, a new mind. Everything is new. We receive Christ. We don't get better. We become new. We are like born again. Why do we need to be born again? That is a requirement for getting in the, what's the word? C plus. What's the word?
Kingdom.
You're born again to get in the kingdom. What is the kingdom? If this is the theme of this immortal message, this is the central theme of the teaching, the life of Jesus, the kingdom. What in the world is the kingdom? Let me illustrate it. When I get in my car, there's my kingdom. That's my kingdom. The seat is put right where I want it to be placed. It fits me. That's my kingdom. Nobody better jack with that seat. When I'm in the kingdom, I've got it on the radio station I listen to. I've got the CD that I listen to. That's my kingdom. And when I get in my study, I am seated there. I have my books around me, and this book is here, and that one is there, and I know how to reach. I know how to go and grab and get those references that I need. That's my kingdom. That's my kingdom. And when if I went home one night, and man, all the lights are out and candles are burning. And I look over there and there's a comfortable chair with my slippers by it. And I look over on the stove and there is a pot roast that's cooking with potatoes and onions. And over the side, there's a hot pecan pie come out of the oven. I know I'm in the wrong house. We all have our kingdom, our domain, do we not? If someone buys a business from somebody else, they set up that new business, and that is their kingdom, right? They set new priorities. You have a new CEO, you have a new governor, a new president, a new mayor, someone in charge of whatever, and they set up their own kingdom. There's new priorities, there's new rules, new regulations, new premises to operate on, there are new goals. It's all new. God set up His kingdom in the coming of Jesus Christ. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, kingdom, as it is in heaven. So in one sense, we talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and kingdom living and a kingdom lifestyle is described in these five chapters. This is how we live in the kingdom. This is how kingdom people live, men and women, teenagers. This is how we then live. This is the kingdom. Now, the kingdom is already, but the kingdom is not yet. Oh, that'll get you. The kingdom is already. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom did come in Jesus Christ, right? That's the kingdom of God. And when Jesus Christ is in your life and my life, and he is Lord and Savior in you and in me, there is the kingdom. By the way, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, the Bible, the same thing. They're used interchangeably. Matthew uses kingdom of heaven, I think, in order not to offend the Jews. Remember, Matthew was written to prove to the Jews that Jesus fulfilled prophecy and he was indeed the promised Messiah. So he used kingdom of heaven, the same thing as the kingdom of God. He didn't use kingdom of God, I believe, because had he said God, some of the Jews would have said, oh no, he's written down the name of God. See, the pious Jews in that day and even to today, Joe Beth and I have a Jewish friend that writes us once in a while. And in her letter, she'll put G dash dash. She'll not write G-O-D. She'll put G. No, she's talking about God. You see, she will not write the name of God. They would not speak the name of God. So Matthew knew that and said, in order not to get them on some wild side street, extraneous stuff about Jesus being the Messiah, I'll just call it the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is the same thing. And so we're talking about the kingdom that is already. Jesus came. He brought the kingdom. Where he is Lord, there is a kingdom. So the kingdom is already, but the kingdom is not yet. Where the will of God is done on earth, there's a kingdom. Where the will of God is done in heaven, there's a kingdom. So we have the already and the not yet. Say already.
Already.
Not yet. The kingdom is what?
Already.
And the kingdom is?
Not yet.
You got it? And here are the principles of the kingdom. By the way, you read the Sermon on the Mount, and you say, ooh, ooh, boy, I don't like all of that. That life would be boring. I could never, don't even think about heaven. That's it. That's what it's going to be like. So you better read this. And if you don't like it, you better bail out today, because you're looking at heavenly principles that we can live because we are in Christ on this earth, in this earth, in this life, on this life. See, that's what it is. So the kingdom of God is?
Already.
You'll never make it. The kingdom of God is?
Already.
And the kingdom of God is?
Already.
And here are the kingdom principles that are laid down and prescribed for us. And the overriding picture of the kingdom is a picture of being blessed, blessed. So we looked at two of the Beatitudes, the one last week and the one this week. We've looked at two of them, and we discovered that all the Beatitudes are paradoxical. Well, what a word. What is a paradox? Remember, a paradox, let me say it, we can understand it, is a statement that seems to be self-contradictory. A paradox. A statement that seems to be self-contradictory, or absurd for that matter, but many times it contains a profound truth. You got it? It seems to be self-contradictory, but it contains profound truth. And the Beatitude we're looking at today is the most contradictory thing you have ever heard. And we've already recited it together. What does it say in simple terms? Happy are the unhappy. Isn't that it? Is that not self-contradictory? Happy are the unhappy. I said, well, you could have fooled me.
Dr. Ed Young and his message today, Happy People Are Broken. We need to pause for a short break, but before we do, I want to remind you to give us a call to request Dr. Young's powerful booklet, Joy, Experiencing God's Grace and Peace in Turbulent Times. Dr. Young wrote it to help you find true joy and enduring peace no matter what you're going through. And this booklet is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Winning Walk broadcast. So please call to request it today, 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9673. 1-800-382-9255. And there's still more Winning Walk to come after this break. Once again, welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. You can find us online at winningwalk.org. Be sure to browse our online bookstore for resources to help you dig deeper spiritually. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's free email devotional when you go to winningwalk.org. And you can follow us on Twitter at winningwalk. Now, let's get to the conclusion of today's message. Here's Dr. Young.
See, we understand happiness, we've got plenty, happiness, we do our own thing, happiness, we have entertainment, happiness, we have significance, happiness, we have friends. Well, we know what makes us happy, we have family, happiness, but here it says happiness is the unhappy. Happy people are unhappy people. Isn't it? Blessed are those who mourn, you got it? Now, I have to remember what the word blessed means, a reminder. We are blessed not when we count your many blessings, name them one by one. It's good. We thank God for that category, that genre of blessing. But what is the word blessing here? Makarios. What does that word mean? You are blessed when you have the smile of God on your life, when you have God's favor, when God looks at you and he smiles. That's what this word means. In other words, you have God's approval on the life that you are living and I am living. You have the applause of God. You have the smile of God over your life. That's what the word means. It's not all this stuff we're thankful for. Oh, no. It's when God approves your life, when God approves my life, then we have makarios, then we're blessed. You say, well, the word happy is translated here. Now, remember, the word happy has to do with luck. You know, that's the background of happy. So happy is sort of a circumstantial thing. You know, I'm happy about this and I'm unhappy about that. So you say there's a better word than happy, and there is. But the word happy here is taken to a new realm, a new echelon, a new height. Because you go through nine blesseds, count them. There are eight beatitudes, I believe, but nine blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. Then it says what? The 12th verse, rejoice, remember? Then the joy comes in. Rejoy. It means you have, re means many, 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 many times. So when all of these characteristics are in your life and my life, we are kingdom men and kingdom women, and we have all of these blessings, the favor of God shining on us. The result is we have joy to the 10th power. Rejoy. Joy, 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 joy. See? And joy is something we have independent of whether we're sick or well or rich or poor or things are going great or things are not going great. We have this joy. And that's the word blessed. See? That's the word blessed. Blessed are they that mourn. Happy are the unhappy. Boy, that's a paradox, isn't it?
Happy people are broken. You've been listening to the proven truth of God's Word here on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Remember to request your copy of Dr. Young's booklet called Joy, Experiencing God's Grace and Peace in Turbulent Times. He wrote this to help you find joy and enduring peace no matter what you're going through. The special booklet is our gift to you to thank you for your donation to support this broadcast. So please call to request your copy of the Joy Booklet today. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. On Monday, Dr. Young continues his current series about the proven truth you need to find real happiness. So we hope to see you next time, right here, on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Have a great weekend.